Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Welcome to Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss 2 episodes of the Pokemon series anime and just whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our heads. Just remember, this podcast is E for explicit, so listener discretion is advised. This week, we are the Fabulous Duo, and I am here with my co-host, Austin. Hi, Austin.
Hey.
Hey. Jacob is absent this week. Hey. Just to put that out there.
Jacob is hanging out with the Fawns.
The Fawns?
Fonzie.
Is he in Narnia?
Henry Winkler. Hey.
Oh, what?
Narnia?
I thought you said Fawns, and my mind immediately went to, like, Mr. Tumnus or something.
That's because you want to see James McAvoy half-naked in the snow.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, okay. Making sure.
I've completely forgotten everything about Narnia. All I know is that they just go through a wardrobe, there's a lion, and that's about it.
All I know about Narnia is Susan.
Is that one of the children?
Yeah, Susan doesn't get to go to heaven.
How many kids are there again?
4.
I've forgotten everything.
At the very end of the last Narnia book, they reveal that, oh my god, they're all dead. And they're already in heaven. Oh my god, how crazy. And then someone looks around and is like, where's Susan? And they basically say...
oh no!
And someone's like, she got too distracted by, like, makeup to come to heaven.
Oh,
what? Meanwhile, her entire family died in a train derailment accident.
What is this book? Oh my god.
I swear to god, this is real. I swear to god.
No, I believe you. So she's, like, not dead. She's just on Earth still.
Seemingly, yes. Presumably.
She didn't get, like, raptured into Narnia. Well, I don't know. That's poor Susan. That's what happens when you choose makeup over heaven, I guess. Anyway, what's been going on with you, Austin?
What's oh god, happening? oh god, let's not even get into it.
It's
been a busy time.
If you want to hear Austin go into how he has been, subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah, give us money.
Listen to our pre-records. Yeah. Oh, I do know what we can talk about. We could talk about our adventures in buying plants.
Yes.
We did have a plant adventure. So this past week, Austin was overcome with the strong desire to own some plants.
So I can kill them. I'm like a plant murderer.
So I was also wrapped up in the hype of it all. And so Austin and I went to...
Okay, I'm telling this from Austin's point of view. I'm going to cut you off rudely.
Do it.
All it was I said, Alex, do you want to go to the store and buy some plants? And she was like, yeah. And before I knew it, we got to the store and Alex was like, we got to look at every single thing they have. So we spent 2 hours looking at every single plant. And Alex came out with more plants than I did.
You have to, okay, first of all, you have to be an informed purchaser, and you can't just go in, like, you have to know what kind of plants there are, and some of them were so interesting, and I was like, ooh, what's this? I was very, like, Jack Skellington in that moment, and I had to do it right. If I was gonna go in, I had to go all in and do it right. And then I ended up spending, like, $60 at the hardware store and bought a bunch of plants. And then we had to go back to the store. We left. Went back, did the whole repotting thing, and then I realized that I was very silly and I never got dishes, saucers, whatever, to put under the plants so they don't leak everywhere. So I was like, Austin, we have to go back to the store. And we went to a different store.
I also forgot. I thought one thing came with a dish, but it didn't. So I also had to go back and buy a dish.
Separately for a third time?
Yeah.
And we also planted some seeds that were like 20 years old that Austin had that was full of like bugs. So we'll see what happens.
It's a science experiment.
Yeah, see if it grows anything. It'll just grow a bunch of bugs, which is completely the opposite of what you wanted. Because the whole point of Austin buying, he wanted to go buy plants, was because he wants to keep away the bugs. So you bought what, like lavender?
I bought bug repellent plants, but instead it turned out there were already bugs in the seeds because they had chewed their way in there and died.
Yeah. Yeah, the bag that they were in was full of like chew holes. So
yep.
Let's try to remember, Austin, to update the people on how our plant growing saga goes.
All right, well, I know all my plants will die. It's fine.
Let's make a sign. You know how they have signs where it's like 0 days since a workplace accident? Let's keep a running sign of like how long we can keep our plants alive.
Oh, I have a question for the audience. We've asked this before, but genuinely let us know if you would rather us only record when it's all three of us available, or if you're okay with someone not being available. Like, I won't get offended. You know what I mean? Like, I'm curious.
What is the preferred format?
Right. Do you want more episodes? We've asked this before, but seriously, write in because I want to know.
Maybe put a poll. I mean, yeah, definitely write us in to our Gmail account, which I will drop at the end of the podcast. Or you can make a poll on Twitter, Austin, and see if our listeners will respond over there.
No, Twitter is useless at this point. If you don't have a blue check mark, if you don't pay that $8 a month, you may as well not even have a Twitter.
Well, fuck Elon Musk then. Maybe I'll make a poll. I wonder if I can do a poll on Instagram. I'll try. I know I always say, like, check out the Instagram, but I've been super busy. So sorry about that. I'll try to be better about putting content on the gram. But with that being said, we're going to talk about Pokemon, unless you have anything else to add, Austin.
We said Jacob's okay, right? He's, like, safe.
Yeah, Jacob, yeah, he is fine. He's just, he's very busy. Obviously, he's prepping for a very important time in his and Leslie's life. So we completely understand that he's got things going.
Yeah, baby still ain't been delivered. They're still waiting on shipping.
So hopefully people like to hear just you and me, Austin, because it may be more of that.
Yeah.
So this week, our two episodes are The Joy of Water Pokemon and Got Miltank.
Okay, Alex. What are your honest opinions? Don't be nice for the sake of being nice. That's society telling you that you can't be nice. You can have a true opinion.
Okay, my true and honest opinion is I do remember the Joy of Water Pokemon.
I did as well. I did too.
I will say that between these two, I didn't feel like there was a lot of memorable, like, quotable things. So I'm a little disappointed there. It kind of seemed like it was a little rushed. I kind of wish we'd explored a little more what's going on in this episode. The Miltank one creeped me out.
I hated the Miltank episode.
I hated it too.
It felt like a Pikachu short.
It did. Because it's such a departure of like what I thought the Miltank episode would be. Like it's completely out of left field. Like I don't know why we couldn't have just got like a farm episode or something, but this is not that. I guess they were like, well, here's a Miltank. We need to have a Miltank episode. So how freaky deaky can we get with it?
Okay, but did we need a Miltank episode? We already had Miltank. Between these two episodes, there's not a single new Pokemon introduced.
That's true. Wait, did we have Miltank when we had Whitney?
Yeah.
But that was more like a gym episode, right?
Instead yeah, but of like I'm okay with it just being a gym episode. We don't need to see Miltank in like the world.
True. I kind of was thinking that. So obviously we get Miltank and Goldenrod because Whitney has one. And we kind of did get a farm. I guess they did combine the farm with that one because Whitney's grandpa or whatever had a farm, right?
Yeah, you're talking about how there's a farm before Olivine City in the game.
Yeah, but in the game, you go from Mahogany Town. So obviously you go through Goldenrod, you go through like the National Park and then Mahogany Town and then the little route. Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't believe I remembered that. Yeah, critique, yeah.
What did I say? Mahogany? Oh, I'm thinking Mahogany because I'm getting close to that in the game that I'm playing through. Sorry. Sorry, I'm a bad man. Ekrutik, Morty, all that stuff. And then you go to the little, like, farm route with the sick Miltanks. And then you get to Olivine. So I thought we were going to have, like, just a one-for-one with, like, a sick Miltank or something, but
nope, you get a magical desert oasis.
Which we will talk about.
All right. First is the Joy of Water Pokemon.
So, since there's only two of us, How is the division this week?
I got a randomizer.
Look at you on top of it.
I go first, then Alex. So that means I do the 30-second recap, and then you do the full recap, and then we switch.
Wait, hold on. Let me get a timer up. Are you ready to summarize the joy of water Pokemon?
Yes.
All right. In 3, 2, 1, summarize.
Well, I could tell this was a Takashi Shudo episode, because there's a whole lot of talking and a whole lot of not much else going on. And we meet a Nurse Joy, who we seemingly seem to believe is hundreds of years old, because they think she's written multiple books over the decades. But no, that was her grandmother and her mother, and they wrote books. And oh shit, this is going by fast. Okay, she hates water Pokemon, and then she still hates water Pokemon, but Misty learns to accept that. And
the end.
I don't know why I was like, we're gonna do the whole thing.
I know, for a second I was like, okay, so we're really gonna do some deep diving into this for 30 seconds.
Deep diving into the polluted lake.
Which, that doesn't really, like, go anywhere.
No, none of this went anywhere. It didn't go anywhere. Nothing happened.
Not really. Okay, so we'll dive straight into the depths of this episode.
Of Lake Lucid.
Yeah, we are at Lake Lucid, a lake that nobody's heard of, except for Misty is overcome with awe and wonder because she's like, this is the famous lake. And Ash is like, well, how do you know about this lake? And I don't know about this lake. Nobody's surprised because I don't think Ash has ever looked at a map in his entire life. So I'm not shocked by this revelation. But before we can really discuss this any further, the Borg is here. No, just kidding. It's actually just Nurse Joy in the most ridiculous diving outfit I've ever seen. And you know what? I don't know about you, but this prompted me to go into a rabbit hole. I was on like rarehistoricalphotos.com.
Oh.
I was inspired. I was like, I have to look up how ridiculous diving suits looked in like the early 1900s.
Oh, now I gotta see.
Have you seen what some of these diving suits look like?
Oh, that looks crazy. Look at that.
They are crazy. It's like a Danger Will Robinson thing or something. Like, guys, I'm encouraging you to just go out and Google like early 1900s diving suits because it'll blow your mind. I mean, I know we gotta start from somewhere from like a technological advancement standpoint, but like, some of these things were just...
I don't understand why some of these have, like, gloves, and some of them have, like, little claw hands.
Some of them straight up had, like, hooks and shit on them, like Captain Hook.
Why?
I guess to, like, hook things when you're down in the depths. I don't know.
Why would you ever need to go down in the depths anyway?
Considering that we know more about space than our own ocean, I mean, people are just curious like cats, Austin.
You know my opinions on the ocean.
What's your opinion on the ocean?
Oh, it's fucking scary. Fuck that.
Oh, we don't belong in the ocean.
I'm a lot like Nurse Joy in that I hate water and water Pokemon.
She didn't say she hated the water. She said she... Well, okay, we'll get there.
Okay, yeah.
We're jumping the gun a little bit. Okay, so yeah, go look up crazy old diving suits because they're pretty wildy. But yeah, so here's Nurse Joy. She's in this crazy costume with like hook hands and she's currently rescuing a sick Goldeen. And by rescuing, I mean she just tosses it nonchalantly in a tank and she's like, fuck you Goldeen, go into this tank. The Chansey's carted away and they're like, oh my gosh, you're the famous Nurse Joy of Lake Lucid, because like you said, apparently they don't recognize the passage of time, and that the books that they have, because they have, the Twerps have two books, they have A Spring Without Pokemon and A Summer of Muck.
They're carrying around hardcover books.
Yes,
because apparently weight does not exist.
No, it does not.
Those bags are like a portal. Yeah, like you can fit anything. I mean, they literally have tables in there, so.
Collapsible tables, whole bicycles, like you just never know.
No, they pointedly do not have a bicycle.
I mean, like in the games, though.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
You put your bike in the bag or whatever. But so they have these two books, and the Twerps do not realize that these books were actually written several decades ago, and this is not the actual Joy that wrote the books. That was, in fact, her grandmother 50 years ago, wrote The Spring Without Pokemon, and then her mother, carrying on the family tradition, also wrote A Summer of Muck. What did you just put in the chat?
That's an old diving suit from the 1700s.
Oh my gosh, it looks like
a hot dog. Look at that fucking thing. It's the scarecrow.
Why does he have an axe in his hand?
I don't know. But he's basically put a tube on his upper half body. And then, like, this can't be correct. It looks like he's got, like, cake for days going on.
Seems impractical, but I guess you gotta start somewhere. Those things probably weigh like 150, 200 pounds. Like, How are you supposed to move around in the crushing weight of the water? But
okay, is it me or are these guys kind of hot? Am I just like Boston's way looking... way too single and lonely?
I think you're just thirsty.
Oh my god.
Oh, I did. I saw this picture and they said that they made these diving helmets out of like old water boilers.
Okay, so these are just like regular people.
That one guy's got some nice thighs though.
I know.
All right, look at old diving pictures.
Look at these vintage photos of these people who are probably dead.
They are dead. This was like the 1930s.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so time has passed in our world, unlike the Torps world, because they don't realize that Joy is not the Joy that wrote this book 50 years ago. That was her grandma. And it turns out that that Joy was dealing with a overly polluted, disgusting lake that like factories were dumping in. And she took it upon herself to like study the water and clean up the lake. And her daughter, so Mama Joy, also continued the legacy and cleaned up the lake and built a whole ass Pokemon Center dedicated to like conservation efforts and cleaning up the environment efforts and all this stuff. So now this is the third generation Joy, the current Joy that we have met. And she's carrying on the family name by running this Pokemon Center and taking care of all the Pokemon that live around here. She says she hasn't written a book herself, but she's planning on calling it An Autumn Harvest of Pokemon. But I hope that's just a working title because that sounds really nefarious in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought she was going to like kill them or something. The yeah.
Which honestly, she kind of seems like she wants to because this Joy has some trauma that we're going to explore.
Yeah, I disagree with the premise of this episode.
Yeah, I thought we might have some thoughts on this. So everything seems pretty normal. They're not suspecting anything about this Joy yet, but she's like, well, why don't you guys come along to the Pokemon Center and I'll take a look at your Pokemon and you can have some tea and crumpets or whatever. Team Rocket's also here. They have a ridiculous Tentacruel outfit that like somehow is like way bigger inside than it is from the outside.
You know what they're wearing? They're wearing the Scarecrow diving suit, but it's Tentacruel themed.
So their upper half of their body are like in the Tentacruel dome head, and then the bottom half of their body is like out, and their legs are like the Tentacruel's like legs.
I didn't understand how Wobbuffet fit in there.
That's what I'm saying. It's like it doesn't work because it's bigger on the inside than, and like Meowth is there too, but I guess Meowth is small. But anyway, Team Rocket gets intercepted by a real Tentacruel who challenges them to like a practice battle because all the Pokemon that live in this lake kind of spar with each other as they recover. So they get their asses kicked, but inside the Pokemon Center, Misty is like, hey, Nurse Joy, I have been such a lifelong fan of yours, which, again, she was fans of, like, Grandma and Mom Joy, not this particular Joy. But she's like, it would be my honor if you could give my water Pokemon a checkup, because this is, like, the water Pokemon haven of the world. But this is where things get wild. Did you have any thoughts before I jump into this, like...
Nope.
This crazy reaction that we get.
Oh, the crazy reaction that we get? I have thoughts on that.
From Joy.
Joy needs intensive therapy.
She does. She freaks the fuck out. Like, she is like, get those MFing Pokemon away from me. And she doesn't even make any qualms about like hiding her feelings. She's like, I hate them. Hate them. They're disgusting, horrible. I mean, she's literally saying this.
She screams and runs away and throws herself against the wall.
Yeah, she's like, get the hell away from me. And then Misty and Brock and Ash are like, what? Never seen a Joy react like that to a Pokemon. Togepi, meanwhile, is having a serious Palpatine moment. He's like, yes, yes. Let the hate flow through you. He's like laughing and clapping.
Of course.
At this. So we find out that... So, okay, first of all, Misty is absolutely crushed, right? She's like, this is not the reaction I ever expected from my childhood hero. And she's like, well, if you're going to be like that, then I'm just going to take my Pokemon somewhere else because I don't want you anywhere near my Pokemon if you hate them so badly, which I completely agree. I completely agree with her. Why would you? It would be like if you took your dog or cat or something to the vet and they were like sick and injured and you're like, okay, I need somebody to help my pet. And the vet was like physically throwing themselves up against the wall, like puking all over themselves and being like, I am disgusted. Get that away from me. You wouldn't want them working on your pet, right?
Nope.
I mean, I would be afraid that they would like kill my pet or something.
Yeah, this is not okay. This is not okay at all.
This is unhinged.
We need that therapist Nurse Joy to come to town. And she can put this Nurse Joy in, like, the water Pokemon room and have exposure therapy.
She needs it. Like, this girl has years of trauma that she never addressed. And honestly, I feel like either she didn't tell them the whole truth, or, like, she's just that unhinged, because the experience that she shares as to why she is reacting the way she's reacting does not fit. It doesn't match the level of trauma.
And what did she experience?
So her flashback, she tells us why she's this way. And she's like, well, once upon a time, I was out on a boat with my mom. Mom was doing some research on, like, the water or whatever. And they're just in a little fishing boat. And all of a sudden, a little Remoraid swims up. And the Remoraid is just having fun, trying to entertain little baby Nurse Joy. And it sprays her in the face with a water gun. So it's like, okay, yeah, if you're a little kid, sure, that would surprise you. And you know how, like, you see videos online of, like, a little kid has, like, a frog in their hand, and then it, like, hops and, like, lands on their face and they start screaming or something.
Right.
It's kind of like that.
Her falling into the lake and being manhandled by Remoraid, that was kind of scary.
It was. So, yeah, that's what happens. It sprays her in the face. She loses her balance. She falls in. And then all of a sudden, a swarm of Remoraids fly up and start, like, wiggling all around her and, like, manhandling her, like you said. And then eventually they all, like, water gun her back into the boat. So I don't know about you, but I thought this was a good reaction by the mom, because she didn't really, like, coddle her. You know, she wasn't like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, are you okay? Like, oh, my God, this horrible Remoraid. Like, it wasn't like she was like that. She's just like, oh, they're just having fun. Maybe one day you'll be a researcher and you can learn about the Pokemon.
It's like a dog, a friendly dog that it's excited and jumping around and barking, and the kid cries, and the mom's like, that it's just expressing interest in you.
Exactly.
And you just gotta learn.
Exactly. And the other thing is, you know, I'm not a parent, of course, but you know who you always hear, like, if your kid falls down or if they have an experience where they're startled or something, they always look at the parent to see how they're supposed to react. And so if, like, the parent is like, oh, you're all right, and doesn't make a big deal, the kid usually, like, laughs it off, doesn't think about it. And obviously this is for injuries that are not, like, serious injuries. But, like, if you have a little kid that, like, falls down and scrapes their knee on the playground, they look over at you, and then you're, like, freaking out, because you're like, oh my God, my little baby, are you okay? The kid's going to start screaming and crying because they think, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. So I actually kind of like the way that the mom handled it, because she's like, whatever, they're just animals being animals, like, no big deal. They're just playing, you're fine, nothing, you know, happened.
That doesn't work, because to this day, she's terrified. And it's become a generalized fear of all water-type Pokemon. I think it should be, like, either Remoraid or fish, specifically.
Yeah, she's not even, that would make more sense, like, if she had a specific fear related to that specific incident. But no, like you said, she just hates any and every single water type. And not even, like, a general dislike of them. Like, oh, I can tolerate them, they're not my favorite, but, you know. No, she's genuinely disgusted by them. Misty is obviously crushed by this, and she's like, well, you shouldn't be a nurse and do this work if you're going to be like that. But Joy insists that she is a professional and that she can do her job objectively and still treat water Pokemon no different than any other Pokemon, which I call bullshit. I think that she's obviously going to have some kind of a bias. Even if it's slight, I don't think, like, a trauma like that can keep you from, like, being completely objective.
No, of course not. People bring their biases into treatment of people. Like, study after study after study show this is true.
Yeah, so I'm completely with Misty on this. I think that she needs to get some help to address her deep-seated trauma for whatever reason. I don't know why it's so bad, but, like, especially in her line of work, you can't be objective, truly objective, with this level of issue going on. But before we can really dive more into this, Team Rocket again interrupts with their fake Tentacruel machine, and they end up having, like, a accident where, like, a part of it, like, flies off and breaks the tank, because they're in a big room with, like, a bunch of water tanks, and there's a Gyarados in one of them. So it breaks the tank with the Gyarados, and Gyarados flops out onto the floor, and it's writhing around in pain. And Misty's like, well, I can help. I'm a water Pokemon trainer. And the Torps are like, well, we're trainers, we can help. But she's like, no, this Gyarados doesn't know you. You're strangers. I'm the only one who can calm it down. even though I'm scared of this.
Maybe this Gyarados wouldn't be acting this way if it weren't for you in the first place.
You know what? I was thinking that. I'm like, what do you think? Because we know that Pokemon have feelings, obviously. How do you think they feel when they have, like, hear her flat out say, like, she hates them?
Well, Pokemon don't understand human language, Alex. We learned that multiple times.
Even though they absolutely do.
Even though they have, like, 100% understanding of every word you say.
You know, it makes me wonder how she, if she acts like this towards them when people are around, like, how does she treat them when nobody's around?
God, she's full on Nurse Ratched.
God, I know. That's what I was thinking the whole time.
Oh, man, I didn't even think of that. Let's get that in the title somehow. Let's workshop that.
Regardless of that, she kind of seems to pull herself through a little bit. She's like, I have a duty as a Pokemon nurse. I gotta help all the Pokemon, even if I fucking hate their guts. So she calms the Gyarados by, like, touching a pressure point on its, like, little head thingy horns. And then she faints from the overall excitement of it. She just can't take it. I don't know. I think the end was kind of
rushed.
I don't agree. Well, yeah, it was super rushed, but I don't necessarily agree with, like, the overall premise, but
No. The premise is wrong.
It is wrong. But I will say, in a general sense, not, like, specific to this, but in a general sense, like, you know how when you go through, like, an anime episode, it's usually, like, the character has seen the light, they've learned the error of their ways, they completely reborn and have a completely changed opinion. So, like, Misty asks Joy at the end. She's like, so you got through the Gyarados thing, and, like, can't you see how wonderful, like, water Pokemon are? Do you think that you'll consider a little bit of a change in your attitude? And she's like, absolutely fucking not. None of my opinion has changed.
I mean, that would be funny if it was done for humor, but it wasn't.
I know. So my point is, like, I think it's kind of a departure from the usual feel good, like, yeah, I've seen the error of my ways, everything's great. She's like, nah, I still fucking hate him. But yeah, if it wasn't about, like, hating animals, then I'd be like, that's kind of a funny thing. But this whole episode was kind of rushed, and just, it was a departure of, like, a normal episode.
Takashi Shudo, he was a strange man.
Why do you liken it to him?
Because he wrote this episode.
Oh, he did? I completely missed that.
That's why I said that.
Is that why it was, like, super, like, dark and stuff?
I don't, sometimes he writes, like, episodes like this, but other, I'm looking at his credits, and I'm assuming it's being done by a writing team, so it's just only one person gets the credit, but it's done by a whole crew, is what I would assume would be the case.
I don't know anything about writer's pits, I don't know.
Specifically not Japanese animation writer's rooms.
I mean, I would assume that it has to go through several layers of approval before it gets to airing, so potentially.
I mean, like, he wrote the Poke Spokesman with the language guy.
Simon Says, the language guy? That was him? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, okay. He wrote the Remoraidians episode.
What is him with Remoraids?
I don't know. But he wrote some classics, too. He wrote Charizard's Burning Ambitions. He wrote Go West, Young Meowth.
Okay.
Those are, like, iconic episodes. And then he writes,
those are bangers,
shitty episodes, like Ride On, Ride On, with the surfing Ride On.
That was him too? All right.
That was him too.
I mean, to be fair, Ride On can learn surf.
Sure. So. And maybe it could have combined that episode with Nurse Joy in this episode. It could be interesting. I don't know.
This was a weird one. I guess you can't have winners all the time, though.
This is okay, I'm just going to say it. Alex, I can bleep this if you want me to. This is a terrible season of Pokemon.
A terrible season?
Yeah, these are just not good episodes. Nothing is happening.
Some of them are good. Some of them
there's always going to be standouts. But if you were to do a ratio, what would you say?
I would say that my memory is pretty bad. So all I can tell you is the recent episodes we've done haven't been the best.
Okay, there you go.
But I don't want to put, like, a blanket statement out there that they're all bad, because I know we've had some funny ones. But I think that, like, anime, I mean, any show kind of suffers that. I mean, when you've been going for so long, I mean, you kind of run out of steam every now and then. The quality has definitely changed. The humor has definitely shifted a little bit. I mean, we're still in 4Kids era, so it's still...
If 4Kids can't save an episode, you know there's nothing to do.
Which, these two, I will say that's pretty accurate, because I didn't have any quotes. There weren't really, like, noticeably funny moments. Like,
no, there were not. Speaking of, do we want to do MVP, LVP, and quote?
We can. Who's first?
You are.
Well, this is going to be easy, because I don't really have anything. I'm gonna give my MVP to, oh my god,
it's gonna be easy, she says.
I said that, but then I lied to myself. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to give it to Grandma and Mama Joy, because they were, like, environmentalists who were like, we got to save the pollution and, like, or save the environment from the pollution, rather, and
take care save of the pollution.
We got to save the pollution. Keep polluting. No, I'm just kidding. Save the environment. Save the Pokemon. Clean the water. All this stuff. And they wrote some books, so they were doing the damn thing. My LVP is obviously going to be our current Nurse Joy. Yes. That is a complete, total butthole. Yes.
How does this work for the chart? The MVP, LVP chart. Do I put give Nurse Joy 2 MVP credits for this episode and 1 LVP credit for this episode? Or do each Nurse Joy as an individual person, whereas the majority of the time, Nurse Joy is like single entity as far as the MVP, LVP chart is concerned?
Usually I would class them as like a hive mind, but in this instance, there's a distinct divide. So I would say let's treat them as singular entities.
This is not Nurse Joy at large. This is water hating Nurse Joy.
Yes, this is water Pokemon hater Joy.
Got it.
My quote, and there's barely any. I'm going to leave you the Jesse one because I feel like you're going to take that one, right?
I don't have a Jesse one.
You don't?
No.
All right, well, I'll take that then. I'm shocked. All right, Jesse says, this is the part where they're attacking with their fake mechanical tentacruel thing. And she says, this mechanical tentacruel has more legs than a chorus line, and we get a kick out of every single one.
Oh, I completely missed that.
Whoa. It was the best line in the thing.
Basically, the only quote I have is Brock to Nurse Joy when she's in her diver suit. That suit's pretty thick, Nurse Joy, but my heart saw right through it. And Joy stupidly says, you saw through my suit? So Brock replies, don't worry about it. It's only a figure of speech. My friends call me Brock. In fact, everyone calls me Brock. So I'd prefer if you call me your boyfriend.
Okay, that was pretty good.
My MVP will be those Remoraid that tried to kill Nurse Joy. Because
the Remoraidians?
The world would be a better place without her. And Jesus. My... not the Remoraidians, Jesse specific Remoraids.
Got it.
My LVP, I kind of want to give it to Misty for accepting Nurse Joy in the end when I'm like, no, you need to report her. She's not okay.
Yeah, report her to the board of nursing or something.
Yeah. I also thought they didn't do enough with Misty being afraid of Gyarados. That is pointedly a thing that comes up in this episode. And they didn't do anything with her being afraid of bug Pokemon. I'm like, parallels could be drawn here, but they're not, it's just not happening.
Yeah, nobody, so the only person that would, well, actually, Nurse Joy does say something like, everybody has Pokemon that they like and Pokemon that they don't like. Like, she does say bug Pokemon. She likes bug Pokemon.
But Misty does not.
Yeah, but the only person that would, or people that would know that is Brock and Ash. And they didn't chime in and say, well, you don't like bug Pokemon.
Nothing, no connective tissue was drawn.
No.
It was just kind of like put out there and nothing was done. Yeah. So that's why I don't like this episode. Like, nothing, there's nothing to it.
I mean, I get that you have a limited time frame. You know, you're trying to squeeze in a story in 20 minutes or whatever, but like...
Well, I would argue it's the opposite. They're trying to stretch this shit out as long as they possibly can.
Yeah, I guess, in some ways. I mean, like, if they had drawn parallels and really, like, dove deep into the psyche of things, maybe, but like... She kind of, there is a moment to the Gyarados point anyway, like the other quote that I had written down was, Ash does sort of kind of touch on it. He says, look, Misty, look at that Gyarados. And Misty says, do I have to? Like in a bored and disinterested way.
Yeah, and then nothing's done with that.
No. So I wish, to your point, I wish that Ash or somebody had kind of like, not excusing Nurse Joy's behavior, because I think that's out of control, but like, nobody, like Ash of all people, doesn't give Misty a hard time to be like, well, you have a bias. Like, you don't like Gyarados and you don't like bug Pokemon. So how is this trauma any different from yours? Like, let's all be better people here. Like, nobody says that. So overall, you're right, Austin. There wasn't much to this episode beyond that.
Nope. Let's go suck on some teats for the next episode.
Oh my God.
Got Miltank?
Ooh.
Are you ready to suck straight from that cow?
Yep, straight from the teat. Alright.
Alright, 3, 2, 1, go.
So we're in the arid, desolate expanse of desert between Ecruteak and Olivine. You know, that one. We're not even 10 seconds in. Ash is here in a hole Team Rocket has dug, and they grab Pikachu. Turns out Cyndaquil injures its little snoot and gets kidnapped by a bunch of desert Pokemon who take it to a mysterious mountain oasis where there's a mill tank who forces Cyndaquil and Meowth to drink from its teats and udders. And it gets mad when Ash tries to steal it away, and they get Cyndaquil back.
This episode starts with a narrator also being sick of the trek to Olivine City.
He does say that they have one more stop.
This is the last episode, I swear to God, before we're there. This is the last one, guys.
Are you sure?
Yes. Put me out of my goddamn misery. Okay, so before we get to Olivine City, we gotta trek through the desert. This is like the third desert we've seen on the way there.
How many deserts are there?
Team Rocket attacks, and there's a goofy moment where Cyndaquil is like a face hugger on Weezing. Like from Alien. Haha. It ends with Cyndaquil falling on his little nose and getting a big old welt. Aww. And Team Rocket laughs at him and he's blushing.
Oh my God, Austin, my heart broke into a million pieces. Like, I don't know, whoever is the voice actor for Cyndaquil, like when it was making those pitiful little squeaking noises, I was heartbroken. Like, oh God, it was...
Like, we think of Cyndaquil as like a baby, right? Like...
Yes.
And it was embarrassed. That was very... It's easy to get secondhand embarrassment.
My heart.
And Team Rocket are such assholes about it. It's very...
They were, like, making fun of it. They were like, Cyndaquil, the red-nosed Pokemon. Like...
Well, like, we love Team Rocket, but, like, they would be high school bullies.
They would be high school bullies.
Like, that's fun in, like, a sleigh kind of way, but not... They're victimizing someone helpless.
I mean, he literally fell on his little nose and, like... genuinely hurt himself, and it was so sad. Ugh.
Okay, first of all, the voice actor for Cyndaquil is KZ Rogers.
Shout out to KZ Rogers for breaking my heart open with those pitiful little noises, because it really makes you, like, want to just scoop Cyndaquil up like if it was a real thing and be like, they're there. It's okay. We're going to help you.
We're not going to help Cyndaquil, actually, because Cyndaquil ignites a giant explosion with Weezing's attack. And it goes blasting off again. And the twerps don't even notice. Because Ash is too busy worrying about Pikachu to notice Cyndaquil's nowhere to be found. For like a solid beat.
This is so sad. I can't... Well, actually, Ash caring about Pikachu is par for the course. But like, I can't believe that he just like... just let it fly off and like die in the desert.
And this was right... He had a pretty good moment with Cyndaquil, I would say. Like, he was like... Like, you can tough it out, Cyndaquil. You're not going to let them get you down. Like, don't be embarrassed, basically. But then he drops the ball because he doesn't give a shit about Cyndaquil. But you know who does give a shit about Cyndaquil? Is all the desert Pokemon that manifest from nowhere. And they all see the poor, injured, abandoned Cyndaquil. And a Dugtrio scoops it up to take it to a different location. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is trapped on a butte somewhere.
A butte.
I don't know what those stone formations are called. And Meowth is thrown out of the balloon by Jesse. So the Dugtrio, like, turns around and comes and gets Meowth as well, taking them to an undisclosed location. Meanwhile, a Nurse Joy, who is not a water-type-hating crazy person, informs the twerps that there's a legend about this desert and that Pokemon would vanish and then come back to the trainers, appearing more healthy than they were before. And Ash is like, well, obviously that's the plot of this episode. So he goes running out the front door. As Nurse Joy is like, where are you going?
She's like, don't forget to drink a lot of water. Stay hydrated.
Lordy. The twerps are looking for Cyndaquil, and Onyx is unable to find him, even though they gave him all 3 seconds to look for Cyndaquil.
Can I ask, how long do we think... Okay, so, like, between the time where Cyndaquil causes that whole, like, gas explosion and then flies off somewhere, how much time has elapsed between then and when they get to the Pokemon Center? Because Brock says something like, well, maybe somebody found Cyndaquil and took it to the Pokemon Center.
He says that within like 30 seconds of them not knowing where Cyndaquil is. Brock is just like, I want to go to the Pokemon Center. I don't care about Cyndaquil.
I'm like, first of all, have you seen a single other soul in this desert? Like, who would be finding it and bringing it and turning it in? Like, I don't get it, but whatever.
Okay, Onyx is unable to find Cyndaquil, but of course, who else but Timothy and Noctowl, the only two competent Pokemon in the entire world, immediately find Cyndaquil, and they come back and tell the twerps.
Aww.
I like to think that the two of them are friends.
Timothy and Noctowl?
Yeah.
They're the best of friends.
Team Rocket, meanwhile, has also found where they are being carted off to. But there's a wall of executor that prevent anyone from getting close to the mountain area.
Is this the executor horde that Melvin caught that he then released into the desert?
I had the same thought.
Good.
We can't see executors without thinking of that episode.
I mean, it was literally an episode about a horde of executor.
Yeah, and they also can hypnotize Team Rocket.
Yeah, so I had to draw the parallel.
They catch Team Rocket, Jesse and James specifically, into like an eternal loop of leaving and coming back, leaving and coming back. So Ash is like, we're going to avoid that crap. And Ash has the idea of like, let's just have Onyx burrow its way into the wherever the hell we're going. And Brock's like, great idea. Onyx, make a staircase underground. And they do. Meanwhile, Cyndaquil and Meowth have found like the queen of the desert oasis, who is a Miltank. Miltank does a heal bell on them by putting out her hand. It's very like, yes.
I'm going to stop you because it wasn't a heal bell.
What was it?
Wasn't it milk drink?
Oh, is that what it was?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, it does a healing move.
You know why they do it this way, right?
No.
Because they can't show... Well, actually, there is a little bit of a compromising scene coming up, but they can't have Miltank squirting them with, like, milk and shit. So, like...
Can they not?
Can't they? Do they?
Can they not? I'm sending you a picture.
That's what I was talking about. Ugh!
Yep. This is what we focused on in our summary.
Okay, I don't know about you, but the version that I watched did not have Cyndaquil sucking on the nipple, and it did certainly not have this Meowth scene.
Okay, the dub excised a sequence where Cyndaquil and Meowth nurse on Miltank. It's a lot. It's a lot.
The scene... Okay, so the first screenshot where it's a close-up of Cyndaquil sucking on the nipple... That wasn't the scene I saw. It was, like, must have been a frame after where he's close to Miltank like that, but his mouth is not on the teat. Like,
okay.
So they cut that whole part out.
Here's another angle of Cyndaquil nursing. Like, it's a close-up.
How many angles do we need?
Oh, you saw this one. This is the one you saw.
Yeah, it was
Cyndaquil very... just about to suckle.
Just about or just after. I think it would probably just be after, because he sees Ash, like, coming up. The version I saw, obviously, like you said, the dub cut out the entire milk suckling sequence, so we don't see that part, but God.
Oh, Lord, here's another one. Here's a close-up of Meowth.
How many of these exist?
This has been a long scene. Did this episode feel short to you?
Look at Apom in the corner, fucking watching.
There's like a weird sexual element of like, come nurse a mother's milk. Young lads.
Why is his facial expression so, like, sensual? Like, he's got the udder in both of his hands. Okay, that's too much.
I would have banned this episode entirely. Like, just get rid of this episode. Get rid of it.
I mean, what is, like, the direction here? Like, grown adult people had to, like, animate this. So, like, what is going on?
Cyndaquil is very babyish, so it kind of fits. But we think of Meowth as, like, an adult man, is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he talks, he drives machines, he behaves like an adult.
Like, I just hate to say it like this, because I don't want to be, like, a weirdo, but it's, like, there is a weird sexual element to this. And is that, like, just us being, like, prescribing this to that? But, like, no, I don't think so, because it's, like, I think it's deliberate, right? Like, otherwise they wouldn't have it like this.
I think Cyndaquil makes sense. Meowth makes it weird.
Ugh.
Anyway, so that only happened in the Japanese version. But back in the dub, the twerps arrive, and they're like, hey, Cyndaquil, and all the, like, Oasis Pokemon are like, get out. Get out of here, humans. This is not for your eyes. And Ash is like, but we're friendly. And in that moment, Jesse and James come down the Meowth balloon, and so all the conflict dissipates because we got to focus on Team Rocket instead.
God, anything to get us out of this teat-sucking thing.
So they send out all four of their Pokemon, actually, including Wobbuffet. And Team Rocket says, you know, attack like you always do. But Meowth stands up for his, like, Mother Miltank milk-providing mistress. And he says, don't attack the Oasis. And there's a cool little moment where Arbok looks around at the others. Arbok looks at Victory Bell and Weezing and is like, what do you guys think? And they all agree, they're not going to be attacking the Oasis. So Jesse and James call the Mutineers and... I think they just grab Miltank in a net.
Yeah.
And they also, like, hog-tie Meowth in the balloon somehow. But Ash and friends save the day. Cyndaquil specifically saves the day. Team Rocket's blasting off again, including Meowth. The Mill Tank, it lives on to nurse Pokemon for another several centuries. Because apparently this was an ancient legend, but how long does a Mill Tank live?
Is it like a generations of Mill Tank? Yeah.
There's a Ditto Daddy somewhere.
I don't want to... I know every time you're going to be mad at me for bringing this up, Tauros and Miltank need a baby Pokemon.
There is not a Tauros to be found.
There was no Tauros, and there's also... I just, in a general sense, I think Miltank and Tauros deserve a pre-evolution that can branch off into either one. I don't understand why, but...
I'm going to find some fan art of Tauros nursing on Miltank's teats.
Please do not do that. You'll be added to a list.
Okay, I'm already on several lists.
You know there's going to be some freaky deaky shit if you Google that.
Of course there is. Whitney will probably be there too.
God.
So basically the episode's over now. Humans are not murdered by the Oasis Pokemon cult. And we move on. Let's leave this goddamn desert and get to Olivine City.
Finally. So are you sure that that's next time? The next two episodes, which are the last two of this season.
Positive. I'm positive.
You're positive. Okay.
Yes.
So when do we actually get to the gym battle? Is that...
Oh, that's... We got all ways to get to go.
Oh, so we might get to Olivine, but we're not getting to Olivine.
Nope.
Oh, gotta stay tuned for that then. All right, is it MVP, LVP, and quote time?
It's MVP, LVP, quote, and your favorite Miltank nipple. My favorite Miltank is bottom left quadrant. How about yours?
Do I have to answer this question?
Well, actually, I go first, so I'm going to do that first. My MVP will be Cyndaquil for being cute.
Aww.
My LVP will be Meowth for being a... Well, I shouldn't kink shame Meowth. I'll take it back.
No, but see, the thing about that is you shouldn't subject unwilling people outside of your private life to your liked kinks.
Apom was smiling the whole time.
The fact that the Pokemon anime forced us to be a part of this kink is the real problem.
Only in Japan, though.
Only in Japan.
Okay. My LVP is Japanese children for having to watch this.
Oh, my God.
Damn, I quote. God, I have, no quotes. At one point, Team Rocket catches Pikachu in a net, and James says, nothing but net.
Nothing but net.
That's it. That's all I got.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that I have zero quotes. So, do you have, a spare that you want to toss me? Because...
Oh my god, this is actually a pretty funny one.
I literally don't have anything written down.
This is what Meowth says when Miltank walks up to him.
Oh. Okay, the only other worthwhile quote, apparently, of this episode. Meowth says, maybe you should watch where you're aiming those things. Ooh.
I think they put that in as a reference to the cutscene, right?
Because it's freaking, nipples are just flopping all around wildly,
God, we needed Jacob here to talk about that fake udder he had that one time.
Oh, yeah, Jacob milked a cow, but it wasn't really a cow. It was, a fake cow with a fake udder. Because apparently that's what Jacob does on the weekends, is go to the farm and milk fake udders.
What if I just sent Jacob all these images with no context?
All right, so, thanks for the quote. My MVP... damn, you took the best ones. My MVP is going to be Onyx for digging that tunnel.
I knew it.
Dug the best tunnel in the world. And my LVP is going to be Ash for not giving a shit about Cyndaquil and only caring about Pikachu because he is a bad trainer. He was really, really mean to Cyndaquil this episode. So
MVP Onyx, LVP Ash. That's Alex for you.
Yep, that sums up everything about me.
All right, that's it. Any closing thoughts? We done?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to ask you the same question. Any final thoughts on these two episodes or in general?
I stand by my negativity. I'm positive when they deserve it.
There was too much nipple action happening.
Not enough nipple action for me, to be honest.
You know what? Honestly, I just feel like I need to add one. Actually, I do have a final thought. I need to add, I'm all for free the nipple or whatever. But I think the problem is the fact that we have turned, as a society, we have turned the breast and the nipple into something sexual when...
Oh, we're the bad guys. You're right.
We are the bad guys because as a society, collectively, we have made the breast and the nipple a sexual thing when it's not. I mean, the biological function of it is to provide nourishment to a youngster. So it's we are being the freaks by looking at this and being oh my god, the nipple, whatever.
That's a good point. We need to, like, re-record this episode and be like, yeah, how great is public nursing? Isn't it so wonderful and natural? All right, so we're the weirdos. Milton should be squirting milk at everyone and everything at every time. And this should not have been cut from Kids WB.
It's not our fault that our society has warped our perception of, like, what a breast and nipple is. I mean, I guess I'm thinking of it in, like, a human term. I mean, obviously this is a cow and this is a show and this is, like, not real. But, like, aren't we also the weirdos because we drink cow's milk as people?
I no longer drink cow's milk.
That's true. You drink milk from little tiny almond nipples.
I'm going to go to a dairy farm and, like, suck directly from the teat and send you some selfies of me doing that. You can find those on our Instagram.
Ugh. Oh, one last final thing. Like, I'm sorry. I guess no shame if, like, you want to drink raw milk. I personally could never. I think that that's, like, horribly disgusting. But, like, I passed by an all-natural, like, holistic health food store, and it said they were selling raw milk, and I was like, pass.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say, no shame if you want to breastfeed your child. I was like, yeah, I agree with that. What?
No, I mean, I was talking about cow's milk. Like, no shame, I guess, if you want to go and drink raw cow's milk. I personally will not be doing that, but we're in control of our own bodies, so. Anyway.
All right.
That was...
All right, leave one star because we don't want to free the nipple.
Yeah, we're
just kidding. Leave five stars because we learned from our lesson. We learned our lesson. It's okay if Nurse Joy hates water Pokemon and recoils in utter disgust from them. And it's okay for this cult leader Miltank to be providing her teeth to everyone and everyone.
Utter disgust. That's our
We already did an title. Utter one.
We did?
Utter disaster.
Oh, damn it.
Yep. That's like how we have two episode titles that have shell in place of hell.
That's because me and Jacob aren't creative, so sorry about that.
The one time I'm gone, y'all repeat an episode title. Tisk, tisk. Okay, we can't do utter disgust. We'll figure it out. You, the listener, already know what we decided on.
Yeah.
Got Miltank is such a good fucking title. God damn it.
They had to go and take it from us.
I know, that's such a good one. 20
years later.
Oh, that's a good one.
How could they know? All right, anyway, that's enough talk about udders.
Let's talk about the village people.
The village people.
Yep, next week is our season finale. Finally!
We have arrived.
It's Fight for the Light and Machoke, Machoke Man.
Fight for the Light. To party. It's Fight for the Right, but, you know.
Yep, Beastie Boys and Village People are both going to be guest starring on our next episode. Be there for it. Maybe Jacob will be back. We can hope so.
Be there or be square. But all that being said, we want to thank you all for taking this wild ride with us and listening to the end. Hopefully you're still here. Yeah, we'd love to hear your feedback. I know earlier in the episode we talked about writing in if you want to see this format continue, if you're cool with like having two or three of us on the podcast, or just general thoughts. So yeah, drop us a line at our Gmail account. That is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or say hi to us over on Twitter. That handle is outofdryingpan. Again, outofdryingpan. Or check us out on Instagram. That's @outofthedryingpan. I post some stuff over there sometimes. And follow us on Patreon. Become a subscriber and a patron. Support us. We really appreciate any and all support. And join us next week as the journey continues.